Part 1. ADD Uncovered. Chapter 1. Why I Care, plus ADD Throughout the Life Cycle. I often tell people I know more about ADD than I want to. I have not only studied ADD from the perspective of a clinician and researcher, I have lived with it at home. My first wife, Robin, and my current wife, Tana, both have ADD. What can I say? I love exciting women. Also, several of my own children have ADD as well. For years, I lived with the guilt that is often associated with having a family member who has this disorder. I thought that I was a terrible husband and a terrible father. These feelings were compounded by the fact that I was a psychiatrist and that I should have a perfect marriage and I should have well-behaved children. Things should have been better than they were. My son, Anthony, used to joke that our family was like the cartoon Simpson family poster that read, "Okay, everybody, let's pretend that we're a nice, normal family," as they were getting ready to take a family picture. It was not until my children were diagnosed and treated properly that the clouds of guilt began to give way to understanding. I know this disorder from the inside out. I know what it is like to have trouble holding a small child because she is in non-stop motion, to chase a child through the store, to chase a four-year-old child who is darting across a busy parking lot, all the while imagining her being struck by a car, which gratefully never happened, but I have the emotional scars from the visual images. To watch a child take 4 hours to do 20 minutes of homework. To watch a child stare at a writing assignment for hours, unable to get thoughts from his brain to the paper. To go to teachers' conferences where my child has been described as bright, spacey, and underachieving. To have to repeat myself 32 times to get a child up in the morning. To be asked for help at 11 p.m. the night before a term paper was due when the child knew about it for 4 weeks. To be angry every school morning for years because a child is continually 10 minutes late. To be amazed that a child's room can become so messy in such a short period of time. To be always on alert in a store or at a friend's house so that my child won't touch or break something. To be frustrated by trying to teach a child something, only to have him or her continually be distracted by something irrelevant. To feel guilty about the negative feelings I have toward a child after I've told him or her not to do something for the umpteenth time. To be embarrassed to the point of madness by a child's behavior in a restaurant and wonder why I'm spending money to suffer. To be interrupted without mercy while I'm on the telephone. To live through angry outbursts that have little or no provocation. My adopted son, Anthony, was diagnosed with ADD when he was 12 years old. His biological father, Jim, was described as someone who never sat still, was impulsive, and had to be chained to his chair to get his homework done. It was only through the patience and diligence of Jim's mother that Jim even finished high school. Like many ADD adults, Jim thrived in the military as a Marine military police officer. The structure seemed to be very helpful for him, but after the service, Jim struggled in all areas of his life. He had several marriages, many jobs, trouble with alcohol, and in his 30s, he shot and killed himself. I was able to adopt Anthony when he was 3 years old. I married his mother, Robin, who had once been married to Jim. I could adopt Anthony even though Jim was alive at the time because Jim never paid child support. In Oklahoma, where I was in medical school, there was a law that if a parent did not live up to their obligation, the step-parent could adopt the child. I adored Anthony, but his room used to follow the second law of physics, meaning that things went from order to disorder. I used to ask him if he planned to have his room that messy. His handwriting was a mess, and half an hour of homework used to take him 3 hours to do, with his mother yelling at him to sit down and get it done. Anthony's school performance alternated from being excellent, if he loved his teacher, to mediocre, despite having a high IQ. As part of a study I was doing on ADD with an electrical brain imaging study called quantitative EEG, I